Good afternoon. This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. Today, we have an article from NPR, Five Tips for Not Getting Tricked Online This April Fool's Day and Beyond, by Rachel Treisman, April 1st, 2024. Myths and misinformation run rampant on the internet all the time these days, but never more reliably than on April 1st. People have celebrated April Fool's Day for centuries with all sorts of jokes and pranks, and while old-school traditions, hello rubber snakes, remain plenty popular, gags have grown considerably more high-tech over the years. And fake news and announcements, whether by a major company, public figure, a random social media user, or your childhood best friend, can take off quickly and morph wildly thanks to social media. It can be tough to tell whether something online is real, especially with artificial intelligence making it increasingly easy for anyone to create fake images, video, audio, and text. It took Sam Gregory, for example, under a minute to write the text prompt needed to create a fake image of the Easter Bunny for his kids last year, as he told NPR. He's well acquainted with the challenges of combating deep fakes as the executive director of Witness, a human rights nonprofit whose work involves helping people recognize and respond to deceptive AI. We're in this moment where it's much easier to make both personalized and individualized, realistic images and audio, and increasingly video, and in the hands of many more people, Gregory said. And then the flip side of that is that the tools are not easily available on the technical side to spot them. There are some resources out there, from news literacy nonprofits to trusted media sources, that can help sort fact from fiction. But much of that responsibility falls to internet users themselves. Part of that involves understanding the moments where myths tend to spread, like in the immediate aftermath of a breaking news event, or on April Fool's Day, says Dan Ebon, the senior manager of education design at the News Literacy Project and former fact checker. He says April Fool's Day, with its trend of advertisements masked as jokes, is a perfect time for people to get in the mindset of anticipating and investigating misinformation. April Fool's Day jokes in general don't try to persuade your politics or make you angry or target the negative emotions that are dangerous online, he told NPR, and a lot of the things that you find are humorous. So from a news literacy perspective, it's kind of fun to encourage people to practice your skills. Plus, he notes, some of the rumors that originate on April Fool's Day could have staying power or resurface much later, like the fake image of an elephant carrying a lion cub that circulated years after it was first posted as a prank. Here are some steps you can take to reduce your chances of getting fooled online April Fool's Day and beyond. Slow down. The biggest piece of advice that Ebon tells people is to simply slow down. Social media is really fast, and there's so much information that comes at us at once, he says. You don't have to go through this stuff so quickly. You can take some time, just a few extra seconds, to examine these posts. Gregory similarly says to stop when you see something that's too good to be true, or too crazy to be believable, or too anger-inducing. He cites the SIFT methodology for evaluating information developed by researcher Mike Caulfield. It stands for stop, investigate the source, find better coverage, and trace claims, quotes, and media to the original context. Once a piece of media gives you pause, he says, consider who shared it. Are they friend, foe, or stranger? Is it your friend who's sharing it, or someone you know? And is it something they made themselves, Gregory adds? Or is it online and it's just a random X account that is trying to explain to you that the King of England had just died, but they seem to generally tweet gossip and they're based in California? In other words, are they a credible source for the context in which you're encountering the information? This step is a little trickier on April Fool's Day, Evon adds, because a lot of the jokes are likely to be coming from verified official accounts. That's why it's especially important to consider the context. If you're going to encounter an AI image, you don't just see the AI image, he says. You see where it's been posted, you see the comments that are attached to it, you see the caption that's presented. On April Fool's Day, you see the date. And maybe that makes you a little skeptical of whether or not it's real. See what others are saying. The next step is to do what experts call lateral reading, which is basically seeing what else is out there. If your only source of information is the one post that you're seeing, there's good reason to be skeptical of that, Evon says. For instance, he says, if a major tech company is actually announcing a new initiative, there's likely to be news coverage of it from at least some credible sources. This isn't a foolproof test. Just because people are talking about something online doesn't make it reliable. Take all the amateur forensic experts analyzing Kate Middleton's controversial family photo, Gregory notes. But seeing what and how much people have to say in the comments section of an X post or TikTok video can be a helpful clue, both experts agree. I think it's often worth looking at the comments not because the comments tell you the truth, but the comments tell you if there's a debate around this that merits further investigation, Gregory says. Look for the original. Another tactic is to try to track down the original image, something Gregory says is easier to do with shallow fakes or photos manipulated with basic editing software. Oftentimes, people will take an existing image or video and just say it's from another time or place. Doing a reverse image search can help you challenge or back up that claim. That basically involves taking a screenshot and plugging into a search engine and then seeing what pops up, according to Evon. He recommends using sites like Google Images, TinEye, and Bing. Making sense of those results requires some more critical thinking, Gregory explains. It's going to pop up and say, wait a second, someone told you this image was from yesterday, but we have an earlier version that's from last year, he says. Now, it doesn't mean the image is from last year, but it certainly tells you it's not from yesterday. When it comes to AI deepfakes, Gregory says there are plenty of clues that people have been told to look for to try to spot manipulated photos and videos. From hands that don't look quite right to garbled writing in an image to eyes that don't properly blink. The problem, he adds, is that most of those glitches are going away as companies get better at AI. If we had talked a year ago, it would have been more reliable to say, look at the hands. The hands have got better, he says. If we talked a year ago, it'd be more reliable to say, look at the writing. But then companies have introduced ways to write more accurately. Amplify responsibility. Internet trickery doesn't mean you can never retweet a funny post or play a harmless prank again, but experts urge caution when amplifying information, no matter the date on the calendar. There are going to be jokes that people are going to circulate. In a lot of instances, these are going to be funny, acknowledges Evon. I don't think it's ever good to intentionally lie to someone or mislead someone, so if you do share something, maybe comment and remind people that it's fake. He offers this broader rule of thumb. If you're skeptical of something, don't help it go viral. And if you do encounter accurate information, like a fact check or correction, help amplify that instead. When it comes to reposting, Gregory recommends pausing in proportion to your emotional reaction. So, if you're about to share something inflammatory, defamatory, or that reinforces a worldview in a highly emotional way, he says stop first to consider your motivations for sharing it and whether that post is the best way to achieve them. consider patterns. April Fool's Day may be a unique day in many ways, but it also reflects broader trends in misinformation. It's not the only day of the year where people should be bracing for falsehoods online, Avon says, noting that people tend to exploit major breaking news stories like the collapse of the Baltimore Bridge to promote misinformation. What we really want people to do is, we want to learn the patterns that these things follow so that they can better recognize them in the future, he explains. This year, Gregory is most expecting to see the proliferation of AI images because they're so easy to make, and audio because it's already being seen in so many other contexts, from phone scammers using voice clones to an election-related robocall purported to be from President Biden. I bet we're going to see many ho-ho-ho April Fool's jokes with audio clones, some of which you and I will never hear because it'll just be me making one for my friend and sending it to them, he says. And of course, if you go on TikTok, you're going to see fake AI audio everywhere. And it cuts across that whole spectrum, from humorous and prank to financial scam to political upheaval. He also notes that the uncertainty created by AI hasn't only made it easier for people to falsify things, but for people to try to dismiss real footage as fake. That's just another reason, he says, to pay close attention. Next up is a Fraud Watch article from the AARP Bulletin, March 2024. Our experts answer your fraud questions. AARP Anti-Scam Advisors offer some timely advice by Amy Nofziger and Mark Fetterhoff. On any given weekday, 300 to 400 people call the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline to talk with our volunteers. You can too when fraud concerns arise. Call 877-908-3360 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Americans reach out because of an encounter with a crook or out of concern that they or a friend or family member is being targeted by a scam. Trained AARP volunteers do what they can to provide the best answers for those concerns, sometimes referring people to law enforcement agencies, other times giving them useful advice. Here are some recent inquiries that represent the range of frauds being perpetrated right now. You might find a concern of yours addressed here. One caller asks, I lost money in a cryptocurrency scam. Can I get any of it back? Recoveries aren't common. Still, if you lost money in a crypto scam, immediately submit a report to the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, at ic3.gov or contact your local FBI field office and provide as much transaction information as possible. Be wary of anyone claiming they can recover your funds who is not verified as law enforcement. This may be another scam. Another asks, someone I care for is in an elaborate romance scam but won't believe his phony paramour is a crook. How can I convince him? The blunt truth is you might not be able to break the spell. It's similar to trying to help someone with addiction. Here are some things that we recommend. Enlist help from a trusted source, police, attorney, doctor, other friends, or family. Consider writing a letter instead of speaking in person. This might help keep emotions in check. Share videos and news articles about romance scams. It might help your friend to see he is not alone in dealing with a predatory fake lover. Ask him to consider family or individual counseling. Also, if you have what you consider legitimate evidence of a fraud, report it to the police. Next question. Someone stole my wallet. It had everything in it. What do I do? Although much identity theft has shifted online, there's still no shortage of criminals who covet a card-filled wallet. First steps include calling all your financial institutions and telling them that your accounts are compromised. Most will close your account immediately and transfer all assets or liabilities to a new one. Alert your state DMV if you had a driver's license. It will likely issue you a new one, and alert your health insurer, whether it's private or Medicare. You should also file a police report to document the case. Next, put a fraud alert on your credit report to stop anyone from getting a credit card in your name. Consider setting up an identity protection, PIN, at irs.gov to prevent someone from getting through to your account and impersonating you. Find help with all these steps at identitytheft.gov. Another caller asks, I keep receiving packages I didn't order. What should I do so I won't be billed? The U.S. Postal Service website says that many people simply pay for the item, but you don't have to. If you have not opened the package, mark it return to sender. The United States Postal Service will send it back at no charge to you. If you open the package and like what you find, keep it free. This is a rare instance when Finders Keepers applies USPS notes. By law, unsolicited merchandise is yours to keep. Why does it happen? It might be a scam called brushing. The intention is to create a record of a verified buyer. Then the sender will write a fake review in your name. These fake reviews help to fraudulently inflate the product's ratings and sales numbers, says the U.S. Postal Inspection Service website. This can result in increased sales. Next question. My wife is getting calls, supposedly from Medicare. They ask for her personal information so they can replace her card. I just want to know if this is a scam. Yes, it is 100% a scam. Medicare will never call you uninvited and ask you to give personal or private information. Medicare fraud is a big business, and you want to protect your number as you would any other personal or financial information. If you suspect a criminal has your Medicare number, call 1-800-MEDICARE and watch your Medicare summary notices to ensure no one has charged items to your number without permission. And finally, someone posits, my husband got an email from someone claiming to be with AARP stating that he could fill out a survey to get a prize. In the past year, there has been an increase in the amount of reports to the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline about scammers posing as AARP. This is not surprising because AARP is viewed as trustworthy. It's important to remember that AARP will never contact you unsolicited asking for personal or financial information. If you ever have a doubt, call the helpline at 877-908-3360. And from Lifehacker, How to Spot a Catfish House Before You Buy One by Jeff Summers, February 6, 2024. House hunting has always been stressful and exhausting. In recent years, there's a whole new layer of difficulty being added to the process as, once again, technology that's supposed to make our lives easier instead betrays us because now we have to deal with catfish homes. The phrase is a riff on the term catfish, which describes a scam where people use fake social media profiles to establish a relationship. A catfish house is one where a lot of effort goes into making the house look updated and in good condition when it's actually neither of those things. This goes beyond the deceptive photos routinely used in real estate listings or the egregious ways real estate TV shows fudge the truth around house flips. It crosses over into real harm because you can be fooled into buying a house that's hiding expensive problems and that could even be dangerous to live in. How a catfish house can fool you. Catfish houses go beyond the staging and photography tricks used to make homes look their best and cross over into potential fraud. On a recent episode of HGTV's Why the Heck Did I Buy This House? The catfish house problem was depicted in horrifying detail. In a clip posted to Instagram, an electrician showed that real effort had been put into updating only the aspects of the electrical infrastructure that could be seen, panels, outlets, and short lengths of wire that would be exposed. Everything else was old, not up to code, and potentially very dangerous. But it could only be seen once the walls were opened up. Some of the ways a catfish house can prove to be deceptive include listing bedrooms that turn out to be too small or awkwardly shaped to be used or that don't meet the legal standards for a bedroom, which typically require an egress window and a closet. Purely cosmetic work hiding significant problems, for example, cheap carpeting over damaged floors, fresh paint over mold or ongoing water damage, and new fixtures attached to broken or failing plumbing or wiring. Using Photoshop or other digital tools to imply upgrades that haven't actually been done, like making walls seem freshly painted, or making kitchen cabinetry look new instead of battered. Covering up foundation problems like cracks with superficial fillers and paint. Exaggerating the size of the home with deceptive photos and fuzzy math that includes unfinished spaces or outdoor areas in the square footage. Insect damage and rot to joists and wall studs that's just left in place. The bugs may be gone, but the framing of the house is compromised and hidden behind new walls and flooring. What makes a house into a catfish is the intention to deceive. While many real estate listings strive to present the property in an ideal way that might not represent the everyday reality of living there, a catfish house actually hides serious problems or fakes significant upgrades. How to avoid a catfish house? Obviously, buying a catfish house is something to avoid. While you might have legal remedies to pursue if you discover you've been fooled into buying one, spending years in court while simultaneously spending a small fortune to repair and renovate a home you thought was move-in ready isn't exactly an ideal scenario. So how can you avoid buying a catfish house in the first place? Inspections. Never waive your right to have a property inspected and regard any pressure to do so from the seller as suspicious unless the home is advertised as an as-is sale. In high-pressure, multiple-bid situations, waiving your right to inspect is sometimes suggested as a way to improve your chances, but only do so if you're ready to deal with whatever's lurking under the surface. Photos. Always be skeptical of photos in real estate listings. Beyond the usual wide-angle lens tricks, pay attention to details like the time of year. If the photos show a bright spring day but snowy and cold out, those photos may show the home from years ago. Also, think about what's not shown in those photos. Are all the bedrooms and bathrooms in the listing shown? Missing rooms or other features might indicate some chicanery is being hidden. Physical signs. One possible sign of a catfish house is fresh work despite the listing not mentioning a recent renovation. While freshly painted walls are a common way to freshen up a house for sale, look at things like wall plates. Mismatched or loose outlet and switch plates might indicate quick dirty work to hide an electrical problem. Brand new plates on walls that haven't been painted might also be a clue. Inconsistent performance. Flickering lights or inconsistent water pressure in certain areas of the house without a disclosed problem can be danger signs. Wall textures. Look at those freshly painted walls. Are there smooth spots that could indicate a hasty drywall repair? Or rough spots where joint compound was larded into a hole and poorly finished? And floor bounce. Pay attention to more than how floors look. Think about how they feel. Bouncy floors might indicate problems with the joists underneath new carpeting or recently installed flooring. And finally, thousands of fake gift cards seized in Arizona. How to Avoid Gift Card Cloning Scams by Kai Graves from the Arizona Republic, published December 8, 2023. The Arizona Attorney General's office was investigating a gift card cloning scam with officials already seizing thousands of counterfeit cards. Authorities took possession of thousands of cloned gift cards and other merchandise after a search warrant was served, according to a news release. 8 people were arrested on suspicion of defrauding retailers and customers. The cloning process involves taking gift cards from the store, copying the magnetic strip, and returning the forged card to store shelves, officials stated in the release. Once the card is purchased, the person who created it can use the copied magnetic strip to sap the funds, leaving the customer with an ineffective piece of plastic. the successful seizure of thousands of cloned cards and the arrest of several individuals reflects my office's unwavering dedication to stopping organized retail theft across Arizona, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays said in a statement. How can I avoid buying copied gift cards? The Attorney General's office said that consumers can avoid fake gift cards by checking a few things before purchasing. Double check that the number on the back of the gift card matches the number on the receipt. If they don't match, the card has been cloned. Look for signs of tampering. This includes stickers placed over activation codes, damage to the packaging, and faint scratches on the card. Customers can also purchase a gift card from behind the counter or near a cash register as an extra precaution. Those who believe they have been a victim of fraud can file a complaint by visiting the Attorney General's website. A complaint form can also be sent to you by contacting the Attorney General's office at 602-542-8888. And that concludes our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at SunSounds. Have a great rest of your day. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then, under Programming Links, left click on On Demand Podcasts. Also, you can now listen to SunSounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.